I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome along to a super special, extra gorgeous-tastic episode of Ready Player 2, which is just a little kind of non-canon slip-in. We're doing a lot of these non-canon slip-ins at the moment. I'm starting to feel a little bit dirty about it, but we've got Ross here.
Hello. Should we just give up on numbers?
Yeah, well, I don't even know why we bother numbering the episodes anymore. Yeah. And our super special guest this evening is Mr. Andrew Bennison.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
That's all right. Don't mention it. Andrew is from Prospect Games, and you probably, if you listened to the previous couple of podcasts, you probably heard us speaking about them. They are the genius minds behind Unbox, the game that we saw at EGX and kind of blew our faces off a little bit, and we gave it Indie Game of the Show.
Which was, we were very excited to see that when it came through. It's our first Olive Leaves. So.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, really?
Don't be that excited, it's just us. we like to talk a big game, but actually, nobody listens to us.
So, before we start.
Oh, yeah, God. Well, we'll cut that to the end. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. So Andrew's very kindly agreed to come along and speak to us a little bit about the journey he's been on with Unbox and everything that they've been doing at Prospect Games, because it's been a bit of an exciting few weeks, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. What with EGX, the Greenlight campaign, Play Expo that we were just back from, it's been sort of all systems go.
You like to keep it going, really, don't you? You like to keep the ball rolling.
Or the box rolling.
That's true. Oh, lovely. On point. I do like it. Okay, fine. So for those people that may not have heard, Unbox, when we went to see it at EGX, was hadn't even been greenlit yet. It wasn't in beta, it wasn't in alpha, it wasn't in early access. You couldn't get your hands on it. Is that right?
Effectively, yeah. I mean, we did put a demo out months and months ago, which a couple of thousand people grabbed. But, I mean, it was so different back then that it's pretty much a new game.
But just a couple of thousand people.
Just small fry numbers. Small focus group of thousands.
Just a small focus group of a couple of thousand people. It's fine. We like to keep it low key. Okay, so is it fair to say that in the last few months, I don't know if it's been since EGX, but certainly from what we saw at EGX, this has kind of blown up a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we're not at like Gang Beast levels yet, but I mean, it's what we're aiming for. We're on the path. It was a case of we started development in January and kind of from January until August, kind of developing a little in the dark. We'd done events, and it really was as we ran up to EGX and we started to post about it more, and then at the show, combined with the Greenlight campaign, it just suddenly things took off. And yeah, in the last few weeks, we just had this really nice buzz around Unbox, which is it's just cool, and it's validated the development for the past few months. We've just been in the dark, not knowing, like, are people really going to like this or not? And it's a case of, yeah, they do.
I think if you get a couple of thousand people downloading a really, really, really early demo, then you're pretty much on the right tracks, I would have thought.
Yeah.
The internet does love something a bit weird. It's a game about a cardboard box. Let's download the shit out of that. That sounds amazing. So for people who haven't seen or heard of the game before, and including Ross, because Ross wasn't there at EGX, so he's seen the game, he's seen videos, and he's obviously read up on the website, because he's diligent and he likes to do his research, don't you, Ross?
I heard you guys talking about it, and it sounds exciting. Yeah.
There you go. So for people like Ross, would you like to just explain the game and the premise and how it plays?
Sure. Well, it's about the ultimate postal service self-delivering cardboard boxes. So it's a physics it's a physics platformer where you play as a cardboard box. You're jumping around massive worlds, completing challenges, proving that you can deliver to anywhere on Earth. So you've got a big single-player campaign mode and split-screen local multiplayer where you're racing against each other to deliver yourself to the end of these big race courses, or you're battling in arenas shooting fireworks at one another.
Wow. So you've got local co-op, you've got the couch gaming down already.
Absolutely. I mean, we grew up playing like GoldenEye and Mario Kart, yes, and all those sorts of titles. And when we originally came up with Unbox, like, we just sort of smushing all of those retro experiences we had into it and combined it somehow works.
Brilliant. Am I right in saying that, so you've got all these couch playing and co-op experiences, is there somebody there who really, really likes Mario 64?
Yeah, that would be me.
Ah, there you go. I did wonder where that kind of influence is coming in. It's not, it doesn't smack of it. It doesn't pick up Mario and hit you in the face with him or anything, but it's just got that lovely little feel that reminded me of that game.
Yeah, Mario, Banjo, all those sorts of titles, sort of try to force it as much into Unbox as possible. But it was actually a case of the single player. We announced and revealed that at EGX, like, up until July, we didn't have a single player like that. It was just kind of small obstacle courses, and none of us really liked it, and people didn't really like it. And I had this sort of eureka moment where it was like, wait, we're doing this game that's kind of like Mario. I'm very influenced by it. Why don't we do kind of open worlds where people can jump around and have like a little sandbox to play in? And the team were obviously like dismayed, because they were like, oh god, like, you're asking us to
more work.
Yeah, just create a whole nother game effectively. But I was like, trust me, this is going to work. And EGX is where we revealed it, and lo and behold, it did work. People absolutely loved it, way more than we were expecting, because it is quite at an early stage on the single player side. Multiplayer is much more fleshed out, but we were finding people loved it, and it's, again, it's just validating that these like risks and choices that we've made, that we've kind of been keeping behind closed doors up until a point we thought were good enough to show, it's paid off.
The risks are great. This was something I wanted to speak to you about, but the indie gaming scene, it seems to me, like, from walking around EGX, and we love this every single year, we go and look at the AAA games, and sometimes it feels like we've got to, you know? You're kind of going through the churn. You can't have this Call of Duty. We're going to have to play that then. But we love going to the indie gaming section, because there's just shit there that you're never going to see a big studio do. And this is that kind of thing. You walk past it, and I've got to say, the multiplayer looked excellent. It was difficult to get a look in on the multiplayer, because there was quite a few people the first time we went past it, all sat around looking at it. But the single player really grabbed me. The graphics, I mean, good God. Considering this is a game basically about a cardboard box, I'm not belittling your idea there or anything, but this is a game about self-delivering cardboard boxes. Good Christ, it looks amazing.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it's one of these things where when I hear that and I go, oh, you know, it's great to hear and everything, I pass on to the artist and they go, oh, no, it looks crap, you know, it's still got a mountain of work to do. But yeah, they, you know, they've done a fantastic job so far. Unreal 4 is pretty good out the box, and using PBR as well means things can pop a lot more. So that's all cool. But there's just a lot more left to do. And, you know, people are only seeing a very small slice of the single player. Like, people see that and think, oh, single player is that world. And it's like, no, there's five of those, you know.
Is there really?
Yeah, we've got a lot more to produce. And there'll be, you know, wildly different environments with lots of different things to do in them. So, yeah, that's all coming soon.
Well, you've got the hook. You've obviously got people interested. I think if you build on that and you get the content in, they, you know, build it and they will come.
That's really the stage we're at, where we're very confident that the game, from a mechanical standpoint, it's effectively done. People like it. They like the handling. They're kind of surprised by the handling. They think it's going to feel very, very clunky, and sort of be intentionally difficult, like Iron Bread. And it's actually more of a halfway between that and like a kart racer, where it's actually somewhat fluid. So the mechanics and all that, we're happy with. It's really just content. We need to flesh it out with a lot more things to do, not just official challenges which we set to the players to, you know, to complete the game, but also more sandboxy things to play around with, just physicsy things to push over and experiment with.
That a little bit like the Little Big Planet type worlds, where you can kind of create your own game within a game, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't got any kind of like level editors, but in that sense, yeah, that you might be able to find a secret little thing and play around with it, or set off explosives and demolish some buildings, like that. Those kind of experiences we want to put in more, so that when you've done your sort of 8 hours campaign playthrough and completed it, you can go back and start finding things you didn't notice the first time around.
Excellent.
Well, now we've got a couple of questions. Now, I'm going to mention something that got me a bit of a stern look when we were at EGX, and it's, I don't know if it's, well, yeah, it's one word. Co-op. Now, I mentioned this to one of the guys. I forget his name. Is it Tim?
Probably. Was this at EGX?
Yes, it was.
Probably Griff or Chris then.
It might have been, right. So I said, oh, you know, this looks great. We played the co-op. We played the multiplayer split screen. We played the single player. Is there any, you know, you thinking about co-op? And he looked at me, and he went, Not without recoding the whole bloody thing.
Yeah, that would have been Chris.
Oh, okay. So I was like, okay then, never mind. Are there any thoughts about co-op? Or are you so far down the rabbit hole now that this is the format that you've got, this is the formula you want to stick with?
Like many other features, there's definitely desires to have that kind of stuff, but it is a case of, because the game came from a game jam, and it's also, you know, elements like single player have come on board later in the game, like further down the project timeline. It would require like massive reworkings. It's like we had on the green light page a lot of people going like, oh, there's no reason there shouldn't be online multiplayer in this, and it's like, yeah, there is. Yeah.
It's like, you have any idea how building online into a game like this makes changes to it. To be honest, we saw an awful lot of couch gaming games, and probably for the first time actually at EGX we saw a lot of games that were saying, no, we're not putting online in. We're just not doing it. We are just a couch gaming experience. We really love that. I certainly really, really love that. And I'd like... It must be great for indie devs as well, because I would imagine adding netcode to stuff like this is an absolute nightmare.
Absolutely. I mean, if you actually look at it, there's not that many online indie games. I mean, the most popular one or successful one I can think of at the moment is Verdun. And that was because they were using things like the Unity plugin, Photon. Mm. So, you know, to be building like netcode from scratch as an indie developer is insane. Like, you'd have to have a really good backing, or, you know, a few games in your portfolio and some money to boot in order to do that. So, yeah, it was basically, you know, online from the get-go, we just couldn't do from a technical standpoint. And then with co-op, yeah, it's something we'd like to do. It wouldn't be hard to build the functionality of it. It's just weaving that back into a game that's already, you know, three quarters structurally built. It would be too much, but, you know, one of these things down the line, it would be interesting to think about more.
I think Unlock 2, wink, wink.
Ooh, that was a bit of a nudge, wasn't it? We ain't got some co-op online in there. I think it's a good idea to have a plan straight from the, you know, because you end up with people like Krillbyte who were making Among the Sleep, and they put an awful lot of time and effort into VR, making it work with VR, only to recently say, no, we can't make it, we can't do it. We're having to shoehorn VR into this game that we didn't really envisage it having in the first place. It's just cost us so much time, effort and money that we're just going to have to pull out of it. And they got a few boos and hisses, and then they also got a few people saying, okay, fine, well, at least you've made a sensible decision there. So it sounds like you've made that decision early on rather than falling into the pitfalls later.
Yeah, very much. I mean, while the game has had elements like single player that have massively changed mid-development, there were a set of features and ideas where it was like, we're not doing this. Like, it's not going to happen, or we'll go massively out of budget, we'll need more people, etc. So, yeah, we tried to go in with as good a plan as possible, you know, things change as you go, but you can't be saying, oh, we'll turn it into an MMO. It's like, nope, you know.
Hey, not going to happen. Box no. MMO, you're going to have to wait for the second game. All right, so you spoke about budget and money there. Now, stop me if this is going a little bit too close to the bone, but you weren't on Kickstarter, were you? You didn't get crowdfunded or anything like that.
No.
You are an internal company. Have you got funding? Do the guys work full-time, or is it a side project and they have full-time jobs?
It was kind of a mix of everything. The three of us who effectively founded Prospect, we were all working in industry, and we went to uni together, so we've known each other for years, and so we saved up money for quite a while to put it into the company and quit our jobs and do this for a living. So there was that. So it's basically been a case of sort of our money, friends and family. We managed to get a bit of private investment, enough to basically just about get us through the gate. So. And now we're, you know, sort of doing the whole, like, looking for publishers and seeing what we can get on that front. So it's been this weird sort of, like, hodgepodge of just trying to, you know, just grab at anything you can and just keep things going. But
millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
We've always had enough to make sure we can put out at a base level basically what you're seeing, and that's garnered attention and made it easier, you know, to sort of get us on the road to release now.
Has things like Kickstarter and Patreon ever been a possibility?
Yeah, Kickstarter at one point was a pretty big possibility. The problem was the bubbles kind of burst for indies. Yeah. Like, you know, Kickstarter's still... Crowdfunding's not going to go away. There's a lot of people sort of naysaying and saying, oh, it's the death of crowdfunding. It's not. It's just changing. And kind of like early access, people don't really want to kickstart a thing that's not in existence. They want a finished product that they can put money into to like pre-order it. That's generally what early access and Kickstarter is being used for. So we were never at a stage up until recently where we were confident that that would go well for us. And it's also just the fact that, you know, things like Kickstarter, you're expected to give rewards. It's like part of your Kickstarter budget goes towards, bit goes towards Kickstarter. And then you've got to be, you know, giving t-shirts and mugs and, you know, very flippant things. So
that works out, doesn't it?
Exactly. So, it's entered our heads several times, especially when the wallet's a little empty. But sort of, to me, it not so much the risks, but just the time and resources it would take up to push it through wasn't really worth it when I knew I could get financing from other avenues.
So there's three of you that actually quit your full-time jobs to do this.
It was Jack, Tim, and myself. We were all working in various places for years, and we'd done uni for 3 years, and we've been sort of masters of our own destiny there, making our own projects. Yeah. So to then go to other studios and do other kinds of work, it wasn't really the life we had in mind. So
I don't know about Rich, but that terrifies me, the thought of doing that. But it's chasing that dream, I suppose, isn't it?
We were getting to a point, like when we started this proper, we were just turning 25, 26, and it was like, right, well, you know, if we give this a few more years, we're not really going to be in a position to just like, you know, quit our jobs, start a new life. It was kind of now or never, and that really pushed us to just take the leap. But we were actually, it was funny, we were developing a stealth action game. We were developing something a lot more serious, and we did the Unreal Game Jam in December of last year in 2014. I was like, how about, you know, to take a break from games development, guys, how about we do 3 days of intensive games development? And you know, the theme for the jam was What's in the Box, and we came up with the initial demo, and it all went from there. And I'm so happy we took the leap, because we stumbled onto this, you know, it's somewhat unique idea, something that really stands out. And, you know, we've had more fun working on this than I think anything else in our lives. So
Unbox has been a 10-month process then, from January to now?
Effectively. So we did the jam for 3 days in December, and over the Christmas holidays, I sort of told of, we did it, and then it was Christmas Day. Like, I was just like, we should do this. We should do this.
So I called them fucking boxes.
Yeah, I called them and I was like, guys, this is seriously, we got something here. And so as soon as we got back in January, we just immediately jumped into it.
Wow.
Where did it come from? I mean, I get the whole thing was out of the box and all the rest of it, but did you guys sit around and go, I need to make a game where you're a fucking cardboard box? That's the winner right there.
Well, we spent the first like 8 hours just coming up with ideas, which were mostly like bizarre and crap for the most part. And there was sort of a lull period where we just had nothing. And Jack went to his room for a few hours. He came back. He was like, come over here, come check this out. And he had this box rolling around. And originally it would unpack and stack itself on top of itself. So it was making these giant like columns. And he was like, I've come up with this kind of platform where you kind of unpackage yourself and then use your giant column of boxes to sort of fling yourself. And we're like, oh, this is cool. But then we were like, well, make it a bit more explosive, make it pop. And so you had the unboxing. And very rapidly from there, we turned it into the split screen racer where it was racing down obstacle courses. And we absolutely loved it. And it was because it was Christmas. We were like, make a Christmas box. Oh, make a prospect box. Make a this, make a that. And all of a sudden, we had this massive warehouse of traps and hazards and boxes jumping around and multiplayer levels. And you know, we didn't win the jam, but the people loved it. Like everyone else entering was like, wow, Unbox, that's weird.
See, that's the great thing, though, isn't it? Surely, is it not a bit like X Factor? The winner, nobody ever hears about those books ever again. It's the second and third and fourth place that you want to watch out for.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the winner was, one of the winners was like basically just Minesweeper, but in 3D, you just step on the blocks.
And where are those guys now? Were they at EGX? I don't think so.
No, so it was, that was kind of our that was what persuaded us, was just the number of comments saying like, oh, this is cool, you should do more of that. We're like, we agree, let's do it.
Amazing. This is so, and on top of this, on top of all of the stuff that you do with Prospect and with Unbox and with the other stuff that you've got going on, you, am I right in saying that you help promote other indie developers? You help kind of show them what, or help them out in what they might need to be doing, getting funding or what direction they need to go in with their company or their startup?
Sure. I mean, I'm always down for giving advice, and actually, pretty much most of 2014 I spent doing gaming events. So I ran a company for a short time called Update, and we did events called Update, another one called Drink Up, which was a more, so Update was like a big kind of sort of 400-500 of us at Media City. It was getting devs and the local community together, and then Drink Up was about 300 of us at a bar, and that was about devs meeting sort of external potential business partners. You know, developers are great at meeting developers. They don't really hang out in the same circles as accountants and lawyers and that stuff. So I tried to bring a couple of hundred of them together, and it was a great success, and everyone loved it.
Speed dating.
Yeah, effectively. Like
speed dating, but with accountants and game developers. What could possibly go wrong
there?
Yeah,
and a lot of alcohol, which
exactly
helps smooth the process
over. How do I get accountants and lawyers and game developers to talk to each other? Playing with booze.
Exactly.
That's the way to get everybody working, isn't it?
Yeah, and I also set up a business network called Game Hub, which was for Northwest game developers. And we had a Facebook group with a couple hundred people in it. We did a few events where we did talks and meetings. But I started to sort of focus more on the Prospect, because, you know, the community side of things is all well and good, but I was doing it basically for free. So now I'm focusing on Prospect and trying to help people through that, sort of lead by example. And also, if people come to me and want help, you know, I'll give it. I always try to help, you know, make people, you know, connect with others. I'm doing the Yuki student conference in a week and a half's time, so I'll be talking at Staffordshire University about the realities of setting up a startup games development company.
Wow.
Well, I don't know about you, Ross, but I'm feeling a little bit inadequate now.
Yeah, I mean, we just do a podcast, and that's a piece of personal.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I feel like maybe I should get out and do something with my life. Bloody hell. I don't know where you get all the energy. Did you have some of the... Did you, like, take a load of those energy drinks that they had at EGX with you?
The Tornado.
Oh, Tornado. God, no, those were terrible. No,
that's what everybody says.
Yeah, I know. Energy drinks don't do anything for me. I don't know what it is. It just tastes like sugar, but I don't get any of the benefits. So I've always, I don't know, just tea's good enough for me.
To be fair, I think that's probably because by the sounds of it, you don't have blood, you just have testosterone. You're just flowing through it. Good grief. Well, okay, so that's absolutely, that's everything that I can think of to ask. Is there anything that you wanted to bring up at the end of the interview?
Just that, you know, we've been confirmed to be coming out on Steam through our Steam Greenlight campaign, which was an exciting roller coaster of a 2-week period, because that overlapped with EGX as well. And that paid off.
What was the target for the Greenlight, or do you not really get a target?
We don't know. It seems to be very case by case. All I knew going into it was basically if we smash it, we'll get through. And we got to number 2 in about 4 days, so that was pretty adequate smashing. And then a week after that, we got greenlit. So, you know, it was basically just a case of get as high as possible and maintain that position for as long as possible, and we should be good, and we were.
How do you need to get on the radar?
How does the submission process work with Steam? Do you just literally just send them the code and... You need to get people, you kind of have to push it yourself, or do they help you out in any way?
No assistance from them. So basically you pay, it was about 40-50 quid to get a page, and then you dress up your page with a video, description, pictures, Q&A, whatever you want. Yeah. If you want to put up a free build, you can host that on somewhere like IndieDB or Mega. And then when you launch, you get a bit of exposure because you'll be on the front page. Beyond that, you have to do everything in your power to drive as many people to your page as possible. Mm-hmm. And that just required constant updates, constant social media, doing events like EGX, getting people on the mailing list, then incentivizing them to go to the page. It was just, yeah, it was just accelerated PR. You're having to do a lot of promotion in a very short space of time.
And they don't do anything to authenticate, so they don't ask you to prove that you've actually got a game.
They ask in the guidelines that you have some kind of playable demo, but it's not, you don't have to submit that to them. They don't do any kind of testing beforehand. So, you know, you'll see, you've probably seen it yourself on Greenlight, there's quite a few duff, non-existent games. Or just
This is what I meant. So you could have a load of people buying or pre-ordering or backing a game, because as soon as you see something on Steam, it's got something, it feels like it's got a little bit of viability.
Yeah.
And then you might think, oh, it's on Steam, so I might kickstart this or something. And actually, it's complete vaporware. It's never going to exist, and people just wander off with your money.
Well, the problem with that as well is it clogs up the green light submission process, and so you get kicked off the front page immediately because a bunch of, you know, basically fake games or clone games or just, you know, mobile ports get uploaded. It's, you know, it's 10 to 20 games a day. And as soon as you're off the front page, there's no way for the user to be able to filter by popularity. So once you're off the front page, you've just got to hope that people stumble across it or work your ass off to drive people to it.
Good grief, it sounds like an awful lot of work. Well then, okay, brilliant. Ross, did you have any more questions?
Just one final one. I'm the console gamer on this podcast. Is it ever going to come to consoles?
We're working on Unreal 4, and that can export to Xbox One and PlayStation 4. You know, we're making a console kind of game. We're making a game that would be great for playing on a couch. So we've not announced anything at the moment. We're pretty much 100% dedicated towards getting the PC version out May 2016. You know, we're a startup, new IP, but it's absolutely something we're looking at as many platforms as possible beyond release. And it basically just comes down to how much do people want it? How well is it going to sell? You know, do we have the resources to do it? But it's one of these things that's pretty high on our list of priorities.
Excellent news.
I think this is the kind of thing. I mean, I get people all around my TV, but I've got a PC hooked up to my TV, and that's perfect for me because people can come around and we can all play couch games, and it's great. But I can see how most people, that's not viable. So it's having it on the console, that'd be absolutely brilliant. Mm. I think that'd be fantastic. Not that I'm driving you in that direction or anything, but...
Well, I think, you know, in a couple of years, your Steam Big Pictures and your Steam Boxes and stuff are going to be a big thing. And, you know, so we're thinking long tail. Unbox being on PC and maybe only on PC will be fine, because in 2-3 years time a lot more of the market will be doing that. At the same time, I could see this doing extremely well on consoles. So it's one of these things, just baby steps, one step at a time, see how we do on one and we can think about the next.
See, he's got a solid plan, hasn't he, Ross?
Love it.
I keep enticing him to run away with himself, but no he knows what he's doing. He's got the plan and he's sticking to it. Absolutely brilliant. Andrew, thank you so much for coming and speaking to us today. We really look forward to seeing what's coming out from Unbox and what's coming from Prospect in the next in the coming months. I would be absolutely amazed if this doesn't blow up even more than it already has. So we loved it. We think it looks gorgeous and it plays really nicely. You should be really proud.
Well, thank you. And thanks for having us. Thank you for the best indie game of the show as well at EGX. That was, we were very excited to see that.
That's no problem at all. Thank you very much. Thank you, Andrew Benson. Where can people find you? Where can people find Unbox? And where can people find you on Twitter or Facebook if they want to look you up and like and follow and all the rest of it?
Sure. You can go to our websites, unboxgame.com or prospectgames.co.uk. And that's at prospectgames on Twitter or at unboxthegame on Twitter. And if you want to listen to me blab about games industry stuff, it's at a13dev on Twitter.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And thank you for coming on and listening and talking as well, Ross. Hopefully I didn't con the microphone a little bit too. You know what I'm like.
You do anyway. It's fine.
I know. Where can people find you and what are you doing?
I'm doing literally nothing, but you can find me on at RossBell 1984. But yeah, thank you very much, Andrew. It's been really good. I'm really looking forward to the game coming out.
That sounds awesome.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I've been Rich. You can find me at Zebwen on Twitter. That's Zebwen. You can find us at ReadyP2, and you can find us at ReadyPlayer2. That's two.co.uk. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.